Today we're up to Daf Pei Aleph at the Mishnah.
Did you know yesterday I nearly walked in the 10 to 9?
No.
If things happened, so I couldn't.
Almost. I'm getting closer.
Where are we up to
Pei Aleph? Pei Aleph, 81. Okay, the Mishnah we're about to, at least the first part of the Mishnah we're about to do, we've already discussed several times on previous pages. Hakaina Shnei Ilanas Vesech Sadeh Chaveret. Somebody buys within someone else's field, he buys some trees. Doesn't buy the field, doesn't buy the land, he buys the trees. So he's bought two trees within the other person's field. Hareza loy kona karka. So that doesn't entitle him to land. Yeah, that means even if the two trees are near each other, the land in between, whatever, he doesn't own any of the land. He owns only the trees. Rameir says that he does acquire the land that the tree is standing on.
Yeah, because the Balabas couldn't damage the land, otherwise he'd be damaging his trees.
But if that little piece of land that the tree is standing on, so what will the difference be if the tree will die? Yeah. So if he owns the land, he can remove that tree and put another tree there. If he doesn't own the land, then once his tree's gone, that's it. That's your tree out in the tip and finished. That's the difference. Higdilu. So this is according to Tanakama. Higdilu. If the tree started growing out overshadowing the field, so the guy who owns the field is growing there his crops. And meanwhile, this tree, which belongs to somebody else, is now growing outwards and shading over his crop. So he's not happy with that. Lo yishafa, bad luck. He can't trim them. Why? Because that's when the guy bought the tree, he doesn't get any land, but he gets the tree. And therefore, it's not yours to block. And that was the way it was bought. What did he bought a tree, not that the tree shouldn't be allowed to grow. So that was the transaction, that he bought the tree and he has the right for his tree to grow outwards. Now, what happens if things sprout out? So if they sprout out of the trunk of the tree, so that means it's part of the tree. So if a fruit, I don't know, whatever, grows out of the part of the tree, a fruit or a branch or whatever, that belongs to the guy who bought it, to the tree owner. But if something comes out from the roots, so the tree's standing in the field and it has roots in the ground, but the ground doesn't belong to the Bal HaTree. So therefore, anything new that grows out of the roots, Shol Bal HaKarka, that belongs to the owner of the land, because that's considered to be coming out of the ground, not out of the tree. Ve'im Mesu, if the tree died, Ein LeKarka, he's not entitled to the land that the tree was standing on, and that's the end of his thing. That's it. The tree's dead. Goodbye, Charlie. Now, so that's all talking about where he bought two trees only, so he doesn't get any land in between them. Now, Kana Shloisha, if he buys three trees in the other guy's field, Kana Karka, then he's entitled to the land in between them. That's the deal. Why is it? Because that's the assumption of a transaction. If a person buys three trees near each other in the other guy's field, the default position is that transaction includes the land that's in between them. And therefore, because the guy's got his own piece of land now, is Higdilu, if his trees spread forth outside the boundaries of his land, Yishaf, then the other guy can trim them. Just like a normal case where two neighbors and one guy's got a tree and the tree grows over into the other guy's area, he's allowed to trim to the boundaries.
So, like you can trim it and chuck it back,
chuck him back over, yeah. So that's the...
That part I understand, that once it's his land, you can trim the outgrowing thing.
Yeah.
But what I can't understand is that if you buy two trees and you don't buy the land, why three trees would automatically...
It's trees regarded already
It's a default position. When you say why, it's all because all of these types of transactions are because what's considered the normal business practice. So it's not some kind of, godly decree. It's what's normal business practice. So normal business practice is that if you do a transaction which says, when the auctioneer reads out the title and whatever, and it says two trees, so the normal standard practice is that you don't get the land. So unless you stipulate something different in a contract, you get the default position. When you buy three trees, the default position is standard business practice that you do get the land. So unless he stipulates different, that's what's going to be the standard contract. That's all it is. There's nothing any more sort of deep and meaningful than that. So this last case we're talking, when he bought three trees, he has the land. Therefore, because he has land, then that means the default position of the contract is that he doesn't get to have his trees growing out over the other guy's land, so the other guy can trim it. Because he owns the land, then obviously if some new sproutling? I don't know if there's a word, but it sounds good. Whatever. If any new sproutling comes out, whether it comes out of the tree or the ground, it belongs to the buyer because he owns the land anyway, so it doesn't make a difference. The Mesa, and similarly, if the trees died, he still owns the land, and now he can plant a new tree in its place. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Tznan Hossam. We're going to learn about Bikurim, because it's Pesach, so we're learning about Bikurim, which are brought on Shavuos. But, you know, Pesach and Shavuos are connected. Tznan Hossam. So we learn the Mishnah Bikurim like this. Hakoinish ne'ilonis b'slesha l'chaveirai. That sounds similar to what we started with in our Mishnah. If you buy two trees within the other person's field. Now, what's the deal with Bikurim? Bikurim has to be yours. Yeah, Bikurim is the first fruits. First fruits grow on a tree. And it has to be your tree. And also, in order to be able to read the speech that you make, yeah, there's the monologue that a person makes when he brings the Bikurim, then the Arami Yevidovi and all that stuff, yeah. So he says there, part of the speech is, you're thanking Hashem for the land which he gave you. So if you own land, you can say that. If you don't own land, you can't say, thank God for the land that he gave me, because it didn't give me any, I haven't got any. So therefore, that's what the basis of this is going to be about. If we say, so a person who buys only two trees in his friend's field, so that maybe he has to bring the Bikurim, because the trees grew first fruit, so he brings Bikurim. We're going to discuss a bit more detail soon. The Yene Koira, but he doesn't make the speech because he can't say, Priha Adomash and Asatali. One of the words are Adomash and Asatali, the land which you gave me. He can't say it because he doesn't have any land. Because two trees, no land, we said. And Rav Meir Roimer, like Rav Meir says in their Mishnah, that two trees you do have land is maybe Vikoira. So then you can say the speech because you can say Asher Nasatali Ha'adam Asher Nasatali. Okay, so far that actually just seems to go according to the parameters set out in their Mishnah. Nothing controversial in that. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, Mechayev Hoya Rav Meir Af Belekeach Peiros Ha'ilon. Even if you buy fruit, you have to take. You have to take the Bikurim and say, Mimai, how do you know Rav Meir says that? Where do you see from the words of Rav Meir that even if he has bought fruit, you have to take the Bikurim to Shalayim? Mira Katani Mishnah Yaseira, because of the extra words of Rav Meir. Michti, so the whole thing is extra in Bikurim. Michti Tanala de Yeshle Karka, since he learned over here in our Mishnah Baba Basra, Rav Meir, Oimer Kana Karka. He did acquire the land when he bought two trees. So once you tell me that he bought the land, so he's got trees standing in his land. He doesn't need to make any more speeches about it. That's the standard case, and therefore, of course, he brings Bikurim. It's pshita de maybe Bikurim. So that's the normal case. There's nothing unusual about it. He brings the Bikurim and he reads the speech. So why does Rav Meir have to say another statement of maybe Bikurim? He's coming to include yet a further case which you might have thought he shouldn't bring Bikurim and make the speech. So Rav Meir is telling you that there's even another case, more extreme, where he's maybe Vikoiri. And what's that? Ela Shmamina. So we learn from this, Mechayev Hoya Rav Meir Af Lekeach Peiros Min Hashuk. Even if you buy fruit in the market, and they happen to be the first fruit that came off whatever tree they came off, so you, the buyer, have to go and bring the bim and take them as Bikurim. So the Gemara, so that's because otherwise, why is Rav Meir saying anything? It must be coming to give us a more inclusive rule about what you bring. For the Gemara, how can Rav Meir say that? Voksiv, the pasuk says, in the first pasuk of Parsha Kisavai, "V'hoya Kisavai al Aretz," And then second possible. You bring from the first fruit, asher tovi meyartzecha, which you have to bring from your land. So how could a mayor say that if I go to Machne Yehuda and buy some fruit there, I'm going to take it to Shalayim and call it Bikurim, when it's not my, I didn't bring it from my land, I brought it from Machne Yehuda. So the Gemara answers that according to Rav Meir, when it says Meyartzecha, it doesn't mean your land as an individual, that you own a piece of land and it's in the title Yehuda Negler. What it means is, L'ma'ut echutz laretz. When it says you bring it from your land, it means you bring it from Eretz Yisrael, not from chutz laretz, because Eretz Yisrael is our land. Chutz laretz is not our land. Therefore, if we bring it from, as a collectively, our nation, we bring from our land, so we have to take Bikurim.
Wouldn't the grower in the field have to do that?
Yeah, but suppose he didn't. So the fruit themselves become Bikurim. So it's the object, it's a Hefzer, right? That's not just the, yes, the person is obligated. Let's say he didn't. Let's say he just took it to the market. Yeah? But you bought it.
If you didn't know about it?
If you didn't know, you didn't know. You can't do anything about stuff you don't know. But if you knew about it, then you know that then you bought Bikurim. Yeah, so that's why when they have the Te'udah there in the market stalls, it tells you a whole list of things you don't have to worry about. Trumas and Maestras and this and that. Is Bikurim in the list? They forgot to put Bikurim in the list. Okay. But they should have in that list Bikurim. They should know they're not buying Bikurim. Okay. Freder Gemara Vayter, according to Reb Meir still. Yeah, what are you telling me, Reb Meir? That the word Me'artzecha is to tell you that Bikurim comes from Eretz Yisrael and doesn't come from Chutz Laretz. Well, Ksiv Ad Moscha, it also says your ground, Adoma. So Eretz is your land and Adoma is also your land, I guess. Is Lema'ute Ad Masakum, that excludes already land that belongs to a non-Jew. Yeah, and V'hok Siv, and furthermore, the Pasuk says, Asher Nasata Li, that you gave it to me. So what are you telling me? It's collectively the national land of Eretz Yisrael. If you're saying the land that you gave me, singular, that means you have to own the land. How can you say this because Eretz Yisrael? Therefore, that's called a Domash Satali. And for the Gemara, has got to learn pshat like that. The Yahavtali Zuzi Rizovni Behu, that I bought it, even though. What do you mean, Asher Nasatali? It means you gave it to me because when I paid for it, it became mine. Yeah.
Not only that, each one can benefit from that piece of land, so that's why it's like mine.
Okay, but your mayor is saying that when you buy Bikurim from someone else, you now take over as the Bikurim owner to the extent that you can say, this is the fruit which you gave me. How did you give me? Okay, so you didn't give me the land but that it grew, but you gave me by buying it from somebody else, and now I have it, so it's in my possession.
Well, but he still uses the words the land of Hashem Asatali.
Yes.
When he's kosher, he still says it.
But the Hashem Asatali referring to the fruit, yeah, that I have it now. Okay, so that's Reb Meir. Frederick Baravaita Mosif Rabba. Rabba asked a question. We learned Akaina Ilon Echad B'Seisha Chaveri. What happens if you only bought one tree? So our Mishnah was talking about where you buy two trees and the argument is, do you get land in between? But if he only bought one tree, is maybe v'enei kaira, then he has to bring the Bikurim, but he doesn't say anything. The fish are like Konakaraka, because he doesn't own any land. Diva Rab Meir. This is the same Rab Meir. You just told me that Rab Meir says when you go to Machna Yehuda and buy it in the stall, you have to bring it, and you for sure don't own any land. But the Mishnah says that even if he only owns one tree, because there's no karaka, he doesn't. So how can it be that if you buy it in the shuk, you have to bring Bikurim, but if you pick it off your own tree, because the tree doesn't sit on your land, you don't bring it. So it doesn't follow.
Because you buy it in the shuk, the owner of the field, the orchard, or whatever, owns a lot of trees, a lot of land.
Yeah.
So that's why.
No, but is it yours?
You should bring it, not
no, but according to Rav Meir, it doesn't even, the land doesn't have to be yours. That it, according to what, whoever it was who said Shmuel. That, according to Shmuel, the land that the Bikurim grew on doesn't need to be yours in order to justify saying the speech of Bikurim. So if the land doesn't need to be yours, so when you bought one tree, you should also say it for sure. Yeah? But Reb Meir says beferish that if it's only one tree, you don't say it. So it's a kasha on the shuk business to yufta. Tufta means Agushlok, usually.
Yeah, no, so. Means when
Mashiach comes. We'll Teikum is Mashiach. Teufta comes, that even before Mashiach comes, we reject the opinion. Okay, next. Amalei Rav Shimon ben Eliakim and Rav Elazar, turn the page. He says to him, my time did Rav Meir b'ilan echer. Why take does Rav Meir say by one tree? No, but he says maybe ve'ene kairo is what he's really asking about. What's the point? What do you mean? You bring it, but you don't say it. Is manavshach? Is it bikurim? Then you should say the speech. If it's not bikurim, what are you bringing it for? So he's asking on the whole maybe v'ene kairi. What is Rav Meir's reasoning? But with one tree, he says maybe v'ene kairi. Well, my time with the rabbanim mishnayos. For that matter, the rabbis who say that if you have two trees, you bring the fruit, but you don't say the speech. What's the point of bringing it without saying the speech? Is it bikurim or it's not bikurim? Make up your mind. Zomar loy, so Rabbi Lozor says to him, "Davar shavishenim loy amru batam," something which the earlier generations they didn't actually explain their reason. Tashileni beis hamedrash kedelu vashenim. You're asking me now to embarrass me. You're asking, you want me to know the reason? I don't know. I wasn't there. Yeah, that's what they said. So you have a kasha. What do you want from me? not my fault. Zomar Rabba. So Rabba says, "What's the problem?" My kusha, why is Rabbi Lozor so disturbed that he couldn't even try to answer it? Maybe the answer is simple. Dilma, Rav Meir be'ilan echad, Rav Meir, when you got one tree, it's a fukim misafkele. He's not sure whether you're supposed to bring bikurim or not. And therefore he says that mitzara sofik, you should bring it, just in case. But you don't say the speech mitzara sofik, because you might be lying. Yeah. So you hedge your bets, and you say, well, I'm not sure whether it's bikurim or not. So bringing it, there's no danger that if I bring it, I'm going to do an Avera. But if I say the speech and it's lying, then I'm going to lie. So I don't want to do that. So therefore, maybe in a Kairi. Similarly, Rabbana Mishneilon is Sukkim Misafkalahu. They're in doubt. And therefore, maybe in a Kairi because it's a Sufik. Freddy Gemara Mimisafkalahu, is that true? That's all because of a doubt? Vakatani, the fish, Aloy Konakarakadiv Rab Meir. Rab Meir doesn't say that maybe in a Kairi because it's a Sufik. He says maybe in a Kairi because it doesn't own land. So he seems like he's saying it as a solid opinion, not as a, I don't really know what's going on, therefore I'm going to make up chumras in all directions.
So now, the Kohl is not out of a sophic.
Yeah, he's saying the reason why you don't read it is not because you're in doubt whether you should read it or not, it's because you definitely shouldn't read it or not. Says the Gemara, change the words of Rav Meir, we don't understand it. So change the words and say maybe that Rav Meir's words should be, the reason why he doesn't say it is because maybe he didn't own any land. Freder Gemara, 1 second. If you're in such a sofek, lechas dilma la bikurim, you think you're being machmir by saying that because it's a sofek, you should bring the bikurim. Why don't we say maybe it's not bikurim? Become ayachul lazara. The bikurim has to be brought near the mizbeach. Yeah, that's what hinicha lifnei mizbeach Hashem alekecha. Yeah, so if you bring something into the azara and you do some kind of mizbeach-related activity, you're not putting it on the mizbeach, you're putting it next to the mizbeach, that is called bringing chulin into the azara, which is also, it's either the rice or the rabbanon or the machoikis, but most opinions say it's min ha-toira. So what are you telling me? You're being strict by telling the guy to bring the bikurim, but you're being lenient by saying he can bring it into the azara, well, maybe it's not bikurim. Become achul nazara. And for the gemara, the makdish lahu, he makes it hektish also. And therefore, it's not chulin. Either way, it's not chulin. Either bikurim or it's hektish. Freddy Gemara, how can he make it hektish? The kohen, what are you going to do with it when you finish bringing it? The kohen's going to eat it. Yeah, but how the kohen's going to eat it. So if you made it hektish, then he can't eat it anymore. It's me'ilah.
That's the question. What sort of hektish
is it? It'll be me'ilah. Whatever hektish you make, you're not allowed to eat it. And for the Gemara, the parak lahu, after you do the whole thing in the mizbeach, when he wants to eat it, then he redeems it from hektish. Like normally, having a hektish, you could be poida. Freddy Gemara still, the Dilma Lab Bikurim Nino. You're going to go through this whole rigmarole of making it hektish and redeeming it. But maybe it wasn't Bikurim, become Afkil Huba Truma Mais. If you allow him to do that, he's going to say it's not Machuyev and Truma Samaisris, because he's going to think it's. Because if it wasn't Bikurim, then it's normal Chulin. He should have to take Truma and Maisa from it. And he's not going to. So the Gemara says, the Mafish Lo. We're all talking about a Sophic. If it's a Sophic, so to be machmir, you take truma samaisis from it as well. Freddy Gemara, that's not going to work either. Bishlam a truma gedoyla. to take truma is okay because you have the kohen. The bikurim you give to the kohen, truma you give to the kohen. So you can take off a piece and say this is truma, and then put it back with the bikurim and hand the whole thing over to the kohen. And ma'aser sheni nami, even the ma'aser sheni that you have to take, you have the kohen, you can give that to the kohen too and tell the kohen eat this in Yerushalayim. And even ma'aser ani nami, you have the kohen ani. If you even ma'aser ani, you might have to give. So you give it to a poor kohen. So I can get away with all that because a kohen can eat it because it's either bikurim or it's one of these other things. Ella ma'aser rishon de levi hu. How can you? What are you going to do with it? You're treating it as maybe bikurim. You're going to give it to the kohen. But if it wasn't, if it really in reality was not bikurim, it's supposed to go to the levi. But you can't give it to the levi because maybe it is bikurim and the levi is not allowed to eat bikurim. There's the man yoiv there. What are you going to do with it? Answer the gemara. The yoiv the kohen. You'll give even ma'aser rishon. You can give to a kohen. In different circumstances, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, like the opinion of Elazar ben Azariah, Tanya, Truma Gedol LeKoyin, Meiser Rishon LeLevi, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, you have to give Meiser to the Levi. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Omer Meiser Rishon Af LeKoyin, maybe Af, maybe Nisht Af. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a Koyin himself, so he's a little bit Negev Adover, but he says Meiser Rishon should be given to a Koyin too. So that's what you do. And the Rashbam goes, the whole thing over here, this is after the Knas of Ezra. But either way, a Kohen's allowed to eat the Meiser. Yeah, so when you mafrish the Meiser and you give it to the Kohen, then you're Yotzer from that. Fred, the Gemara, Vedilu, Bekurim, Ninu, Ve'upoy Kriya. Now, getting to the guts of the matter, we said maybe it is Bekurim and he should be reading the speech. So that's where we come into Kriya Lo Ma'akeves. The speech is not Ma'akev. That's why maybe Ve'ein Ekeire, because you're hedging your bets. And even if you didn't read the speech, but at least you're yotzer the mitzvah of bikurim. Fredi gemara veloy, isn't the kriya ma'akev? Yomar abzeira kol aroyel bilam bilam akeves boy. Something is in menachas. Yeah, you can't bring too much flour that you couldn't mix with the oil. Why? Because you wouldn't be able to mix it in good. Yeah, it doesn't need to be mixed. But if you didn't mix it at all, it's still kosher. So Rab Zeira says that if it's mixable, if you could have mixed it if you want to. Then you don't have to actually mix it. It has to be able to be mixed. But if it's not able to be mixed, then that's not good. So the same thing over here. If he doesn't read the speech, he's still yoitzer. But if he's not able to read the speech, because he can't, then it is ma'akiv. You do some other trick, like Rabbi Yosef Bechanina. The Omar Batzo Meshogam Mashliach. If you picked the fruit and sent the shliach with the bikurim to Yerushalayim, and the shliach died on the way, maybe v'ene kairei, then the next person who takes it along reads it and doesn't say it. So therefore, what he should do is send it through a shliach, and then, I don't know, kill the shliach on the way. So then he doesn't have to do it, and it's not ma'akev. My timer, why not? You're supposed to bring it. You take the fruit and bring it top of the page. That it's got to be one person bringing it and taking it. So if the shliach didn't make it, therefore there's no reading of the thing. There you haven't got it. Okay, this is the two dots. What do you mean? Misafik, you can't read the psukim. Why? Because he doesn't own the land. But so what? Is this psukim? You can read the psukim. You look at Chumash and you read the psukim. What does it cost you anything? Because it looks like he's lying. When he gets up in the Beis HaMikdash and he makes a whole speech that God gave me land, and everybody knows that he doesn't have land, or everyone, some people think that he doesn't have land, then it looks like he's lying. So therefore, we don't want him to look like he's lying. If he makes the speech, people are going to think that it's Vadai Bikurim, and they're not going to do this rigmarole of giving the Truma and Meiser just in case that we talked about. People will think there is no just in case. So in order to make people realize that it's a suffix and you have to be machmer in both directions and take trumas and maestras, we told this guy, don't read any speech. And therefore people will realize, what's he doing? He's doing the pantomime actions and no words. And therefore it must be that it's a suffix, and they'll understand that you need to take from that trumas and maestras.